there can't be help but be just an amazing, I don't know about for you, but for me, this amazing depth of feeling as we go about this everydayness of life, you know. Have you ever heard someone say this, the problem with life is it's so daily, right? You know, and some days come nice and they come gently and they come easy, and other days you just feel like you've been whacked in the head. You know, you wake up on the agnostic side of the bed. You just kind of wonder what in the world's going on. And then you put a foot on the floor, and then you put another foot on the floor, and then you get up, and we believe ourselves into this world. I love it there. Paul says to the church at Colossae, he says, put on Christ. He says, put on Christ, and he uses the image of a set of clothing. But one of the two sermons that I remember in my life, someone preached this passage, and he said, you know, back in the day, a long time ago, we used to talk especially about putting people on, right? You remember that? Don't put me on. It meant don't fake it. You know, don't do that. But on the other hand, you know, sometimes what do they say you do? You fake it until you, yeah, you know, and faith has those days. You know, it does for everybody. And even those of us who, and I'm not counting my, but the people who you think ought to be there. My Kristen spent some time in Haiti once, as a seminary student. And Haiti, you know, it's just, and they were working with orphans, and her heart broke every day. And in the middle of it, she encountered Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, who spent many years there in Haiti. And they had a chance, she and her group, to meet her and to be with her and just to kind of walk through her day and kind of ponder who she was, because here's this person who represents all this goodness of God, and who we came to find out in her death, as we read about her, had all these wonderful ponderings about where God was. You know, Mother Teresa of all things. So she's with Kristen in this group at one point. And she just says, come. She says, come, let's see Jesus. And they go and they spend time together. What a wonderful thing that was. That's all part of that shepherding that we want to be part of. I wanted to mention too, because this image of the cornerstone came up this morning. I was in Nicaragua once. It was the only time I've been in Central America with young people. We took our youth group there. And we were in a town called Casablanca, and we were building houses out of block. You know, just very simple, probably, you know, 20 by 20 houses, blocks, maybe, you know, 10 courses of blocks. And we were working side by side with men primarily from the community, and they were really directing the work, right? And so we would pick up these blocks, and they're very much like our cinder blocks, right? They have two kinds of, you know, I don't know, I'm not a mason, so I can't tell you, but they have two deals. They have two little holes in them, right? But sometimes you would cut the block in half, you know, for a particular use. And sometimes you even cut it more than that. So the people that we were working with, they would say they need a C. Give me a C. Give me that portion of a block. Or they'd say, give me an O. Give me that portion of the block. And so we went along and did that for them. And these houses got built. Well, the image that Peter uses when he's talking, you know, in the aftermath of when the man jumped up and they, I don't have gold to give you, but I'll give you what I have. And the man got up and he was walking and leaping. And then the aftermath of that is that the disciples, John and Peter, got in trouble because the word about Jesus was starting to spread. And so they're taken into court in front of many of the same people that condemned Jesus, taken into that court. And they say, well, where's this coming from? Where are you getting this? And Peter says, it's the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's the power of that, in the power of that name. It's not us. In the power of that name, this man has been healed. And then he goes on to say, you know, Jesus is like this cornerstone, this block, this piece that you thought wasn't worth putting into the building. But he's become the cornerstone, the thing that sets the course for the rest of the house, that sets the course for the rest of the kingdom of God. That this is who Jesus is. And that's a wonderful image that he's the rock. We could sing that song. On this solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. But our gospel message and what I want to speak about a bit is about shepherding. So this is the word of God coming to us from John chapter 10, beginning at the 11th verse. Listen to the word of God for you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have this image of power, the name. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus, the name he was given at birth, means Savior. Christ is the Greek form of the word Messiah. So Jesus, the Messiah, the one who fulfills the promises that were heard through the people of Israel, of Nazareth. That's just his hometown. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the cornerstone. So what does he do? What do I do? What does he do? What does he do? There we go, as the shepherd. This is a shepherd from today, and these are sheep from today. This is not a very prosperous looking pasture, but the shepherd, I imagine, takes sheep to wherever they can find pasture these days and keeps them safe. Doesn't run from the dangers that are around, whether it's a crevice or a predator or whatever it might be. This is another green pasture that I'm thinking about, because tomorrow's Earth Day. Happy Earth Day to us, and we know how important it is that we keep whatever portion of this pasture we tread upon as healthy and prosperous as possible. This is what the Holy Father, Pope Francis, posted this morning about Good Shepherd Sunday. He said, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows us and calls us by name. When we're lost, he seeks us until he finds us. Jesus not only shares the life of the flock, he's the Good Shepherd who sacrificed his life for us. And having risen, has given us the Spirit. So these are things that the psalm says Jesus does for us. He makes us lie down. He makes us lie down. You know, there are days where the world keeps us just going and going, and you kind of go, I don't even have time to rest. Did you ever have one of those? I don't have. He makes us lie down and rest and reflect, because we're not human doings. We're human beings. And if we don't have reflection, if we don't make reflection space, whether behind your name it says that you're still working full time, or it says you're working half time, or it says you've got the grandkids every other week, or it says you're home as a homemaker, You know, where we need time and space to be restored, to reflect. Jesus makes us lie down and he speaks to us. I don't know. I believe this. I believe Jesus. I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And when you get a message to lie down, you better do it. I was with the young people yesterday, and one of them wasn't feeling very well. And you know, when you're with a group like that, you know, she did very well to be good, to be okay, but she wasn't. And she finally had to say, and did say, and was brave enough to say, you know, I've had enough. And so some of us came home. But that was what was necessary, you know, to listen to that need to reflect. He leads us beside still waters. I believe that our conscience, the Holy Spirit cooperates with our conscience and will invite us to step out of places that we don't need to be in, where the water is too turbulent, where the environment, whatever it is harmful to us, so that we can be restored. He restores our soul. How good it is when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And then he leads us in right paths. He leads us in right paths. What struck me as I read that this morning or last night is that there are places Jesus doesn't want us to go. There are places Jesus doesn't want us to go because they're not good for us, right? Every once in a while I think about old television, right? Did you ever watch Miami Vice? Miami Vice. Yeah, there used to be, you know, back in the day, the police, they didn't have SWAT teams, but they had a vice squad, right? You know, and all the cool characters were on the vice squad. Well, we don't even hear that word anymore. We don't even hear that word anymore. Many of those things have just been folded into culture as if they're part of the water. It's an amazing thing to contemplate. There are places Jesus doesn't want us to go. They're not good for us. I'm not saying what they are, because they're going to be different for me than they are for you. But there are places and paths that don't do justice to his name. So these are the three thoughts, that Dan read, three from the first of his verse, and I have them here that you all can take. Maybe, I don't know if you want to pass these around, or you can do that later, Deb or Em. But these are these three thoughts that I'm calling, this is all you need to know. This is all you really need to know if you want to know the gospel, these three thoughts. We know this by love. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. That's all we need to know. He laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for one another. We're coming up on May. We're coming up on Memorial Day, and you know these are not theoretical words for a lot of people. You know, there was a situation 3 weeks ago where someone laid down their life for another person in our community. You know, that happens every time a police officer steps in front of danger. They're laying down their life. All kinds of things. Every time a parent stands up in the face of another parent who's just going out of control, or a friend intervenes when someone in a household is going to be hurt, we lay down our lives for each other. This is from John's letter. And then he says, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? How does God do that? That's a kind of hard thing for John to have said. He's been talking about love. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? You know, somebody could even say, well, that sounds a little political. You know, you're talking about redistributing goods here. You're talking about messing with my stuff, you know, and for us culturally, stuff is so important. How does God love us? This is an important thing. You know, if you were going to get a tattoo on your back, you know, I'm not suggesting anything. This would hurt, but yeah, what a thought. And then this one: little children, Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Let us not love in word or speech, but truth and in action. Faith is an active verb. Following Jesus as a disciple is an active thing. Jesus, our good shepherd, who leads us in pastures so that we can rest, so that we can be restored, so that we can jump out of the way of that which would harm us, so that we can find peace, so that we can have our heads anointed with oil when we're dry, that we might have something to feed and quench our thirst, so that we can sit down with enemies even all around us and know that we're at peace. Friends, what a gift to know that we have a shepherd. Let's pray. God, thank you for shepherding us through all the days of our life.